I'm Rachel, the creative director for Ram Dass's Love Serve Remember Foundation, and I'd like to welcome you to our Inner Academy, a virtual Dharma hall where our family of wisdom teachers will help you navigate your daily life by bringing ancient wisdom into a modern context. With over 200 hours of audio and video teachings, meditations, and practices from teachers like Ram Dass, Krishna Dass, Sharon Salzberg, Jack Kornfield, Roshi Joan Halifax, Joseph Goldstein, and many more, the Inner Academy is your core resource for finding balance, presence, and navigating the ups and downs of your daily life. The Inner Academy has guidance for every step of your journey. Choose from an annual or monthly membership and gain access to past and future courses, retreat replays, virtual community, and much more. If you've been familiar with Love Serve Remember Foundation for a while, you'll know that most of our offerings are given freely or on a sliding scale basis. So when you subscribe to the Inner Academy, you're paying it forward and bolstering our ability to continue creating accessible offerings for all in the future, as Ram Dass wished for us to do. Be here now and start your journey with Ram Dass's Inner Academy today. For more, visit ramdass.org/innerAcademy.
Teaching meditation can be a deeply rewarding experience. Help others improve their mental and emotional well-being, reduce stress, improve focus, increase self-awareness and self-regulation, all while deepening your own practice and understanding. Join acclaimed author, Buddhist teacher, and Emmy Award-winning musician David Nickturn on Tuesday, May 28th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for a free online discussion on teaching meditation in Dharma Moon's renowned mindfulness meditation teacher training program. Get certified by Dharma Moon to teach meditation, lead group practice sessions, and work with individual students. Visit dharmamoon.com/be-here-now for more info and to reserve your spot for the free online event with David Nickturn on May 28th.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, everyone. It's Raghu, back with Mind Rolling. Today, we're going to meet somebody brand new that I haven't talked to in forever. It's Noah Marcus. Hello, everyone. Joining me. You've heard him on other podcasts. You know, I was thinking of Noah actually was, we should try and get Joseph Goldstein back and just hang with him.
I'll have to try and do that.
Yeah. So we had some fun. We've been doing different things. And we have a major thing. I think everybody knows it in terms of Love, Serve, Remember Foundation, which is this is the 50th anniversary of Ram Dass's Be Here Now book. And so we've been doing a lot of different things to celebrate that, honor it and him. And we have a big one coming up October 24th, just being announced today, actually, at the Wisdom Theater with wonderful immersive 360 dome films that have been either converted or created anew, and a great lineup during the day of people, as I said, honoring Ram Dass and what this teaching represents, particularly Be Here Now, which we're going to talk about with Noah in a minute. Krishna Dass is going to be there, and Jack Kornfield and Trudy Goodman and Mirabai Starr, and I'll be there, and I'm going to do something with Pete Holmes. I can't wait for that. Love Pete. And then in the evening, there's a concert with East Forest, and Krishna Dass will be headlining it, and John Forte, who we are working with right now, who has a beautiful album coming out at that same time, and right now there's one of the songs called Ready on the One is out there. So then we have East Forest, we said, and Justin Beretta from Glitch Mob. And he has a whole new thing going on, a new offering called Superposition, and Nayla is going to be part of that. So go to ramdas.org/wisdom, and that's WISDOME. It's a little bit of a play on that. Thanks for being here, Noah. Sorry for the ad.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so we were talking about Be Here Now, and we thought to get more like direct about what that is, Noah had a bunch of different things in mind to sort of prompt me to remember from when Be Here Now was created, as much as I knew. When I first met Ram Dass, I knew nothing about Be Here Now. I only knew about it when I got to India and had that whole story of it, Maharaji saying you got to stop the printing.
That's a pretty well-known story around all of this. But I want to see if there's some other stories we can flesh out here.
Okay.
And I want to preface all this by saying, you know, yes, I'm your child and I've been in this scene my entire life, but I am by no means an expert on it. So when I ask these questions, I ask them from a genuine place that, you know, I truly don't know all of this stuff. You know, I've probably heard a lot of the stories a lot of times, but
you didn't pay attention all those years.
We don't always pay attention to what our parents say. So what can I tell you? I'm sure you never had that issue at all.
Let's not go there. That would need Gabor Mate.
Different podcast.
Different expert.
But yeah, let me just start with, I mean, we could just really start at the basics. There are sort of different components to Be Here Now. It's really, you know, whatever, 3, 4, 5 different books in one. Can you break it down a little for all of us? You know, I know the first part pretty well, that, you know, Ram Dass's journey, and that's sort of the part I'm most familiar with. And then there's another part, the brown pages, which are probably the most famous part of it. But
yeah,
break it down. What is Be Here Now?
Well, it's funny because I just talked about wisdom and we're going to celebrate Be Here Now with films and all, and just all these amazing people, teachers and artists. And so in the process of thinking, okay, we're going to present some of what Ram Dass, how he characterized it himself. And so we found, or Nathan found, our wonderful library curator, a piece that was very close in time to when after Ram Dass came back the first time from India. So we're talking 19, I think this was done in 68, 69. He came back early 68, I believe. So he was fresh into it. And he said, so I went, you know, with this young surfer hippie guy and Bhagavan Dass, and met him in Kathmandu at a cafe, and he decided to tag along he had the car and the whole thing, so Bhagavan Dass kind of just took control and he let it happen because he didn't know how to navigate it, right? So Bhagavan Dass had been living there for years, so off they went to meet Maharaji, which turned out to be nearby where we first saw him, in Kenchi, up in the foothills of the Himalayas near Nainital. And, Ram Dass is on the ride, and he's just like talking about all of his experiences with Leary, and, he's got such an incredible life history. He was regaling Bhagavan Dass about all of his wondrous adventures up to that point. And then finally Bhagavan Dass just looked at him and went, Jesus, Richard, can you just for one second just be here now? That's it. That's how it happened. I mean, And from there, Ram Dass never gave it a thought, but probably was just pissed that, you know, he was called out for not being in the moment. And then look what's happened with that phrase. It's incredible. And so, yeah, I mean, some of it, the iconic part of it, Be Here Now. I mean, an insurance company owned Be Here Now, the phrase.
Really?
Yeah, a big insurance company. I can't remember that. I probably shouldn't say it, but I can't remember it anyhow, so it's okay. But they did. And then we countered, actually. And it's not resolved yet, but what are you, you know, it's awful and ridiculous. So the iconic nature of it is, yes, be here now while you still can with your life insurance policy. I don't know how they used it. But the reality of what Ram Dass was talking about in terms of course, not letting yourself fly off into the future or continue what he was doing with Bhagwan Das is just remembering the past. And instead of any of that, so then being in the moment means letting go of a lot of stuff to be able to do that. And it's a work in progress for everybody, because we are dragged around by our minds and by the incredible array of phenomena from people and objects. I mean, it's just extraordinary. So it's a work in progress, which is why Joseph Goldstein, he talks about practice. And what's the first thing to do? Stop clinging. And then you have a chance of being in the present moment. But everyone has been in that moment, one point or another, even if it's not naturally or through a piece of music or with somebody or love making. If it's not that, and then it's psychedelics. But there's that place where the world just stops and you're just at ease in the moment. And that was Ram Dass's, a large part of what his life work has been up until he left almost 2 years ago now, was to offer to everyone the goal of being in that moment, which we all know, so trusting that. And you get it, and it happens once in a while, and then it starts to, once you really are doing some of the practices and mindfulness and all of that, and then it enlarges. It's not as once in a blue moon where you just are present and take a deep breath. Ah, here, just here. So it's a central tenet, really, of the goal of mindfulness practice.
Awesome. You mentioned Nathan had found this this talk from 1969 or whatever,
yeah,
right
eight,
after
nine,
he came
yeah,
back.
Something.
There was one of the early podcasts, the Here and Now podcast, that I've listened to. I think it was an old radio interview Ram Dass did, and he was talking about making the Love, Serve, Remember album. Can you clarify all this for me? What is that? How is it related to Be Here Now?
It's crazy that the foundation ended up with that name. Of course, not crazy, because that's the only instructions we got, Ram Dass got from Neem Karoli Baba. But that was done. I mean, one of the ways that I remember it, because your mother and I were involved, Parvati, and Rameshwar Das, who co-wrote Being Ram Dass, the new memoir that came out earlier this year, and a couple other people. And we were in New York, and it was during the hearings, or the Watergate hearings. So we were sitting there in New York, middle of New York, and this is happening. And we were working and had the TV on with Sam Ervin, who was the chairman of the committee. That he was like this Southern guy, that he was incredible. So we were fixated there. So that was 1973, those hearings, I believe. And Ram Dass had done a series of radio shows in New York City on the Pacifica station, and they were fantastic. It was fantastic content that he did. And so he said, well, let's put it out, you know, let's put out some not CDs, vinyl. Of course, now vinyl is way back in. We should do that now, put it out again as vinyl. That would be cool. And then he wanted to add all of these other wonderful elements, including the artwork. We got this amazing artist to do this artwork that was, you know, the liner notes for a, it had a nice size, 12 by 12 or whatever it is. And I mean, he was reciting the third Chinese patriarch is in there. It's a fantastic recital of that. The Ramayana. It was very rich, you know. It was really Ram Dass putting all of these different elements together that represent, you know, from his Hindu and Buddhist and Christian and the whole thing. He did that so well, so honestly. So that's how Love, Serve, Remember, okay. Which it's available on ramdass.org in the shop as downloads, I believe.
See, that's already clearing some stuff up for me. I thought that was somehow connected to Be Here Now, the book, but I was way off base. So I'm learning things here.
What's connected to the book is the original box set that they put together, which had, you know, it had a CD. It had the vinyl, and it had all sorts of different booklets that, like the brown pages, were a separate thing, and pictures. It's really, and Lama redid it this past summer, and just I think only made 100 because it's work intensive thing, and we did get a few, but I don't know what happened. But that's where Be Here Now came from. Uh-huh. Yeah. And basically, because I think maybe not just now, but before, I think you asked me about Lama Foundation's involvement, right?
Yeah.
So Ram Dass, how he kept going around in the days after he first was in India, which is where most of us met him or heard him or were with him. So this woman named Lillian North actually said, hey, why don't you give me these things? I'll transcribe them. And she did that. And he was traveling and getting them. And then he got actually in California at Esalen. And he opened his trunk of his car and he had all this shit in there, all the tapes and the transcripts. You know, it was like a big mess. And guy looked, asked him what it was, and he looked, holy shit, this should be a book, Ram Dass. And then when he got to Lama and they saw it and he had that thing in his head, then it manifested because of his, at the time, relationship, friendship with the guy who ran Lama at the time, whose name just disappeared for me. Who passed recently. Anyhow, that's how it happened. And they had a bunch of artists there, and Steve Durkee was his name. He also had a Muslim name as well. And that creation came out of the commune that was Lama, spiritual commune, which exists to this day. And they have the original, the art was done on these big brown paper formatted things that they actually have that still, Lama does. And we want to eventually take them out and display them in different places.
What year was this?
So that's 69-70.
Okay.
And then they decide, so they made, 69, I think they actually made the box set into, and then by 70 decided Ram Dass would put it out just as a book. I need to get my story and then the brown pages and then the spiritual paths and so on. Yeah, so that's how it happened.
Okay. And so obviously we have that very well-known story about Maharaji requesting the edits being made.
You got it wrong, Ram Dass. This is not how it happened. You must change it. And Ram Dass knew that it was just, it was gone to print. And the long and the short of it is that he was told it was printed and then got a telegram saying, whoops, there was a mistake that was made in the, something wrong with one of the plates or whatever. We had to redo it.
Yeah.
And they were able.
It's an amazing story. And I think he does a pretty good telling of it. In one of the last couple episodes we put out of, of Here and Now. And I didn't realize it was somehow the lies that he was telling were somehow connected to, the person who'd been his teacher over there.
So that he didn't say, really, Maharaj, he didn't tell Ram Dass, you lied, you got it wrong. He didn't.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's
Ram Dass just finished. Had no idea, and he didn't check his sources, so to speak. Yeah, so that's what happened.
He's got a fact check. Yeah.
He didn't do no fact check.
did Maharaj have any other reaction to the book? I mean, there's that one picture of him, I think, holding the book, looking at it. Was there any other real reaction to it?
No, not that I can remember. I remember being there, and we all looked at it. We hadn't seen it either, you know? Right. It was our first time. It was like, oh my God, look at this with the artwork. It's the same reaction that people have now if they get it. Somebody hands them a copy of it in college or whatever, how it works, right?
Yeah.
And it's that artwork. It's so cool. And the content and the delivery of it is so Ram Dass. It's quite a combination. And it's powerful. And look what it's done over all these years.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for me, it's definitely the powerful part is the first part, his journey and his story. And I was just actually reading it again earlier today. It's been a while. It's just always... Yeah, it's a good one. And I mean, I like the artwork and all that, but the narrative stuff jives with me a little more.
Well, it's we all, when we heard that narrative, we all went, okay, this there was a trust. We've always talked about trust, but there was a trust, like, okay, there's not bullshitting here. This guy is honest. And I don't hear any play. He admits wherever he's caught, and you know we are all part of that. So there was a tremendous amount of trust in the story. So yeah, that first part is the key for everybody. It's like, I mean, for me, it's this one, the little supposedly little thing that Maharaji, your mother was sick and she died of, and then he said in English, spleen. She had spleen cancer, Ram Dass's mother. The whole thing was outside thinking of his mother and all that. But knowing the disease, you know, that did him in, he was gone. He fell down. That was it. There was beyond CIA paranoia at that point. And we got that. We didn't even have to be there. We got that through him, which is what he's done for all of these decades. So it's inimitable, this beautiful thing of be here now and representing what Ram Dass is about, which is sharing. He can't, like he said, I've said a million times when I asked him a couple of years ago before he died, why did you talk about Maharaji all the time? He told you not to. Why'd you do it? And he just said, I had this jewel. How could I not share it? How could I not? And he didn't have a chance, a choice, rather. He didn't have a chance. We all didn't have a chance, that's for sure. But he didn't have a choice there because it was just part of his marrow. He couldn't change any. He couldn't. And that's the gift. That is the gift. There's a... we're going to play a few of these films. I go back to the wisdom and the celebration because we're talking about Be Here Now, and it's going to be our opportunity to celebrate the book and honor Ram Dass and the way that he's related to the book. Like, you know, we're going to get Jack. I'm going to ask him, see if he'll do it, to just talk about it from his lens, the idea of being here now. I'm sure he'll have a lot to say, and Trudy as well.
Nice.
But yes, you just, there's one thing that is animated Be Here Now brand pages, brown pages, which is this video that was done around this song that was created by East Forest using Ram Dass talk. 8 minutes of it's just phenomenal what he's saying and the vibe of his voice, and got together with a man named John Hopkins, who is this amazing artist from London, and done a lot of work, you know, Coldplay, he's worked with, and other ambient people and projects and so on. And this is so beautiful, this between Ram Dass's reading of, not reading, but his, you know how he sometimes gets to that place in his voice where he's just transmitting so much non-attached stuff, and it really comes into you. And he was in that place. And of course, what he was talking about is key as well. But these two guys put this music behind this, and then they got these people to, they used the brown pages to animate, and animated them in a way that fit with what he's talking about. And of course, all of his words are on screen and so on. It's just fantastic, actually. I can't wait to see it on this dome. But even as a flat, a 2D thing, it's phenomenal. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds super cool. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. It's all going to be streamed, everybody, by the way, if you're not in L.A.
That's good, because yeah. Not everyone is.
No.
Yeah, there was some line at the end of the first section of Be Here Now. It was, each of us finds their unique vehicle for sharing with others their bit of wisdom.
That's
one of the lines I wrote down today. Stuck out to me.
Yep, that says it all, basically. Just connecting with that purpose. Yeah.
So do we have, there's one point in that first section he's talking about his, you know, post-LSD, but pre-India days. So, you know, after he'd done a lot of experimentation with Leary, but before he made it to India. He was talking about, you know, he would go give lectures on psychedelics to like the Hell's Angels, stuff like that. Do we have any of that? I kind of want to, you know.
Yeah, I'd love to get Ram Dass to a talk at the Angels headquarters.
Yeah,
I don't
really
know. That sounds far-fetched to me, since I knew them as well back then. I don't know about that.
And look.
I know, but I still, you know, Ram Dass maybe recollected that. That sounds, but we don't have that. So what can I tell you?
Okay. I was just curious. Hoping against hope. What can I say?
Yeah. Anybody listening to this podcast who knows somebody who, like, you know, their father or grandfather went, yeah, no, I recorded that. Let us know.
What was it? But there was one other thing that stuck out. He was talking about, finally, when he meets Maharaji, he was talking about he's always in a state of, and I'm going to mess this up, Sahaj Samadhi?
Yeah. Ram Dass said that.
Yeah, about Maharaji. Can you explain that a little bit?
There are different levels, you know, Samadhi. It's interesting to bring up Samadhi because of we're working on this film about one of our mentors, and Krishnadas talks about him as his Indian father, and Krishnadas did spend the most time with him. K.C. Tiwari, it's called Brilliant Disguise, because he was a high yogi, but he was the headmaster of a boys' school up in the Nainital. And it was like Superman, you know, he wearing the regular suit, and then he rips it off, and it's a pretty amazing story. I just think that, I'm just remembering, you know, when someone like this comes up, like a K.C. Tiwari, and the mentors that we've had to really get the instruction. It makes me think about that Ram Dass really, he's such a conduit. You know, going back to what's Be Here Now related to Ram Dass, he's such a conduit of, has been of that for so long. And to that kind of, even though Ram Dass was human, Ram Dass was not enlightened and never would have said he was enlightened, but he was certainly, he was enlightened in one way, which was he did get to love everybody. That's pretty enlightening. Just look around this world, right? So in that way, the only way he could get there was just being present in the moment. And I don't know if that answers that question, but it just, this led me to, you know, maybe even understand a little bit further about what Be Here Now is, because it's not a, as I talked about, is an iconic saying that is used by this insurance company and all that. It's the reality of slowing down into that presence, which he so exemplified, especially in his last 15, 20 years. I mean, if you could imagine through the stroke and all of that, that is his for sure, because it entails his love, his compassion, his wisdom. It had it all. Being in the present moment, that's all there. And that's he was able to be in it a lot. And
yeah, he embodied it there, especially, like you said, towards the end of his life. He really did.
Yeah. And he, you know, not for a second would he want anybody to even think of him as a saint or any of that stuff.
No.
Just in the same way K.C. Tiwari in this film that hopefully will be out next year says Maharaji was against cults, any kind of cults. And in the same way, you know, Ram Dass was against any of this, what he would have thought of as pompous kind of characterizations of stages. But Sahaj Samadhi, which is what you were talking about, there's Turiya, there's Sahaj, there's all of these states of absorption, which is loosely translates, these absorptions are Samadhi. You're going completely... I mean, Tiwari would not have a pulse and was stiff as a board and you couldn't do anything and or breath. I mean, the states that we had never, ever even never saw anybody like that. Your grandmother saw him like that once when I took her to India and she he was saying, you can't change your religion and take on Eastern religion. It's not that you just can't give something up that easily, however he said it at the time. And she he said, by the way, you're Jewish, maybe you know a nice Jewish prayer. And so she and I sang for a little bit Ein Kolohenu. There's only one, basically is what the there's only one, there's only one, there's only one. We looked over, stiff as a board, gone into this absorbed state. And now I don't know, Sahaj Samadhi, Turiya Samadhi, you know, there's all of these arcane things. I have no idea about any of it. All I knew is that he, as Jai Utal says in the movie, I didn't know anything about what these kind of states were, but it sure looked like he was having a good time. Yeah, bliss going off your face. I mean, so, yeah, this is way beyond our pay grade to know anything about the different samadhis. But yeah, it does recall, you know, the most important thing, which is what I always appreciated the most about Ram Dass, just objectively, obviously, I was very subjectively involved for so long with him, just that there was no big, like Maharaji said to, he said, how do I attain an enlightenment or whatever way Ram Dass said it? And he tells this story and the way Maharaju just goes, love everyone and tell the truth, or just love everyone. Well, wait a minute. Now, I want, you know, he wanted an arcane teaching around meditation. He saw all these Buddhist friends. They were all getting these wonderful teachings and ways to understand and go on the path day to day with a prescribed thing. You know, this is a great thing. You know, we don't have to think about and Maharaji would, and he asked again, and Maharaji, love everyone and feed people. And he Ram Dass eventually got that. And we, of course, that's what we got when we went there. To just be kind, loving, compassionate, right? And to think about enlightenment and all that stuff. I mean, it's fun. It's fun to study and so on. But the reality is turning ourselves to the point where once we do get to that be here, and once we get to that presence and all of what it represents, then we can just relax and be of some use to people around us, because we're not thinking about ourselves. That's the biggest thing around be here now. You stop thinking about yourself.
But I like thinking about myself. So much fun.
I know. Actually, you don't like thinking about yourself.
Really, I don't.
It's just the same problem, but that's okay.
I think...
Yes.
Yeah, I think that covers
think
most of
it?
My questions around okay. Be here now, right now.
Right. Well, I, you know, we still have a little bit of time left, and I did a podcast with Bob Thurman a few weeks ago, which is up on Mind Rolling. And he has this book, Wisdom is Bliss, 4 Friendly Fun Facts That Can Change Your Life. Only Bob can do this. He called, yeah, the 4 Noble Truths are the 4 Friendly Facts. And I hadn't read the very end of it, so I was reading that. And he's got this chapter called Realistic Mindfulness, right? And in my attempts to get this to all of these teachings as much as possible to a place where we can understand and put them into action. And so you'll give me some feedback here in terms of, because Bob does get it down to a very practical level sometimes. Other times you wouldn't understand one word of what he said for a good, you know, half hour.
That is an accurate summary of my experience with him.
So here's he says, people in the West think of mindfulness as being mainly one aspect, which is the mindfulness of the body, which is mindfulness of the breath, breath being considered the bridge between mind and body, right? So when you first do mindfulness practice, you get a little nervous because you realize there's a whole cacophony going on inside your mind. But then once you get to see it more comprehensively and you can move around among your thoughts, we can do that, right? That's not a hard thing. We can move around. We do move around. You develop a little bit of critical awareness and you can change channels. So that's the mindfulness aspect, right? You're aware of all these different thoughts that are coursing through. And he said, you have a sort of clicker. You get a remote control in your own mind, and you can click from one channel to another. You can look at it from another angle and get another perspective on it. And then you can be more free about your reactivity. In other words, there's enough space, so you're not jumping onto that reactive thought, reactive emotion, right? When someone presses your button, you can either react or not react because you're not a slave of that thought. You can shift away from it, okay? I mean, so it's possible. This stuff is real. It is possible, right, to have that spaciousness. Does this make sense? I'm just trying to ask.
Oh, yeah, no. It definitely totally makes sense. And, yeah, I mean, I relate a lot of what, you know, is said there through a Ram Dass lens, and thinking of, you know, how he talks about changing channels.
Yeah, I saw that too.
He references that more on, in terms of planes of consciousness, planes,
yeah.
But it's a similar thing.
Yeah.
I wish, I wish there was a remote control to grab and move around my thoughts with a little bit more ease. For sure.
So he says mindfulness gives you a much bigger range of choice and an ability to create gaps and pause your reactions so you can choose to move this way or that way. It really is very important. This again goes back to trust in the possibilities at the very least. So that's the creative part of all of this. Right? Okay. You don't have to be black and white. Oh, this isn't something I can do. I mean, what do you mean a bigger range of choice? I'm just stuck in there thinking about this bullshit, you know. So a little spaciousness is, it. Just think of the idea of creating a gap, because a lot of times stuff happens and then you don't react to it and you're just being here now, right?
Yeah. It's hard though with the bigger stuff, right? Because you don't usually have any space before all of a sudden you've reacted and gotten yourself into a little bit of trouble somehow.
If you only have to take a breath in the little stuff to just sort of back off a little bit, you might have to take a few to at least get to the point where, yeah, this is tragic news we just got, or just being berated by somebody who's a bully, even stuff like that. There's a lot of practice got to go on to take enough of a pause and create enough of a gap not to go over and, you know, smash somebody into a wall or something. Buddhist psychological science starts from the second noble truth or friendly fact, which focuses on the diagnosis of this, the cause of suffering. You want to know the diagnosis of the cause of suffering?
Please.
Misknowing ignorance. Misknowing ignorance causes unawake beings to imagine themselves and their world as being other than what they really are. Okay? Such beings, and he says in parentheses, I still am somewhat one of them, so don't feel put down, he said, are like the hero Neo in Matrix, the Matrix film, who thinks he's a certain body running around in a certain world. When he is caused to, quote-unquote, remember, become self-aware, is awakened by technical intervention, he realizes that he's actually an unconscious, dream-trapped, embryo-like grown-up trapped in a slimy test tube prison. Luckily, his already awake revolutionary new friends save him as his body gets flushed out to die in a sewer due to his crime of having become unmanageably self-aware.
This is one of my favorite things about Bob, by the way, how much he loves the Matrix. It's awesome.
Really? He really, you know... Oh boy! So, what else from Bob here? Ignorant misknowing awareness. It even has a name in the Pali: avidya, asat, vidya, vidya. Dooms us non-Buddhas to the suffering of living in a mirror reflection world that seems to be evidently apart from us. This is more misknowledge than ignorance, since you actively think you know something that is not real to be real. This is the basic cause of your suffering. You think you know a certain environment and world, and you try to live in it, but you keep banging into its mirror reflection, unreality. You know you are in some reality, but you are unconscious of it. So you are always anxious and insecure. The shocking fact is that Buddhist psychology shows us that any unawake suffering person is diagnosable as virtually, quote-unquote, psychotic. In today's psychological terms, as they are suffering from a psychosis defined as a lack of contact contact with reality. To the extent that you are unenlightened, you are living in an unreal world created by your misknowing, distorted psyche, which makes you technically psychotic. Don't take it personally. I'm not yet fully enlightened either, so I'm happy to join you there. Oh, this is so great.
We all kind of end up making our own version of the Matrix there that we're trapped in.
Yeah, to get Bob should do that, right? Oh, God. Anyhow, what's the bottom line here? It's obviously, unless you get to a certain place, no one's going to give a shit about this because we all think, well, we have happy moments. You know, it's not all suffering. What the hell? The truth is, if you're not enlightened, that means you don't know what you are. You don't know what the world you're in is really about. Therefore, you're going to have a frustrating time because you're going to be wandering like a blind person on the freeway. That's not even a genius statement. It's an obvious statement. If you don't know what's going on, you're going to have a hard time. Right? And don't we come to that? At some point, we all come to that and go, yeah, I don't want to do this anymore. I have to have some relationship with what the truth is.
To bring it back to Ram Dass and Be Here Now, it's something he put in his story there at the beginning. You know, he just, something was wrong.
Yeah.
You know, before he had discovered psychedelics or Maharaji or anything, he knew somewhere deep down inside of him, something was wrong. And we all can associate with that feeling, something wrong, but we don't quite know, we can't put our fingers on it.
Yeah. And well, he did a lot of psychedelics and he would find the place of truth, but couldn't stay very long. And that's what led him to India, was this to satisfy. He seen the truth. How do you stay in the truth? And that's, so what happened? Ultimately, it's all about, so he meets a being that's all about, all you got to do is think of others, serve them, remember the one, the presence of Be Here Now, right? That's all. Tell the truth, which is loving everybody. So yeah, that's all. So
it's all relatively simple.
But the beauty is that there was no arcane teachings to get you there. So what he did do, Neem Karoli Baba, without doing anything, like the whole thing, we all went to Vipassana, insight meditation courses. So that's where Ram Dass met both Joseph and Sharon, actually, because Maharaji was missing at the time. He just, nobody could find him. And they did maybe 3 months of these things. I mean, he was... a lot of sitting. You know, Krishnadas was there, Ramesh, you know, many others of who we met up in the Himalayas later. And many people were also very involved with Tibetans, Tibetan teachers, Rinpoche. So this combination, in his way, people were introduced to discriminating wisdom through Buddhism. And yet we had this total connection to bhakti yoga, or yoga of devotion. That was the path. And this combination of it, which he fed absolutely, was extraordinary and was manifested in those retreats in Maui for a whole time, for all of the time he was there, from 2004 through when he left, which is 2019. So... I can look back now and see the beauty of how he had us deal with finding a way to go do the work of going inside through chant, through meditation, whatever anybody's proclivity was, but not at any point thinking this was the the answer, that these paths were the answer. The answer was stop thinking about yourself all the time. That was the answer. That was the day-to-day. We just weren't hip to it at that point. But it took a while, but here we are. Here's a final story about Be Here Now, and from Bob, and I don't think he didn't talk about it at all. He said, one day I was looking at some family photos in a scrapbook. I came upon a picture of myself and my beloved wife, partner, and teacher, Nena, with our first two children on the beach in the island of Mallorca when we were 29. It was a sunny bit of paradise, immensely enjoyable, but to see as a pic and to remember. But then my enjoyment was disturbed when I looked at my own face and in a flash recognized the thought in my mind at the time, which was a strong sense of anxiety in the midst of this blissful scene. Where's the wallet, the credit card? Are we out of money? Where's my visa? Where's a fellowship? I'm supposed to get, are the kids okay? Is Nana happy? What do we need? Etc. I could see from the picture that I was not, quote unquote, in the moment, realistically aware of the blessed fortune, blissful setting, and companionship, and peaceful situation on a planet where many beings were suffering, dying, starving, feeling sick, in agony, terrified, tortured, and so on. But then I realized that I now could see how wonderful the situation was, how lucky we were, how blissful and blessed with fortune. I enjoyed the scene immensely, even blissfully, retroactively in that way. Be here now.
Well, it's a good one.
Yeah, really, huh? Bob is so great. So yeah, everybody go, wisdom is bliss. It's some Robert Thurman. It's very advantageous just to bring some of these ideas and perspectives into one's daily life.
And yeah, he makes Buddhism a little more user-friendly, shall we say.
Say the very least, very least. Well, thanks for being a guest on your podcast.
Thank you for having me.
It's like a family business. We're going to hand it down. Yeah.
That's okay. Yeah. But you were going to let me shout out a couple of the other podcasts.
Yeah,
that you
please.
Guys have on.
Please.
starting, of course, with Joseph. I know I talk about him anytime I'm on. But the last episode of Joseph Goldstein I listened to was like from 1977, a guided meditation. I think Big Mind Game is what it was called. And it's awesome. Please go check it out. I get to go listen to Conda Mason, everyone. She is really fantastic and
extraordinary.
She's speaking truth, and that's what, you know, we all need to do these days, especially.
Extraordinary woman.
Yeah, just wanted to, and I could keep going down the list. We have a lot of great podcasts on Be Here Now Network, and, you know, It's more than just Ram Dass and the.
We're gonna have a psychedelic one.
Yeah, you're right. You got Madison
next
Margolin.
Madison Margolin's right? Gonna be with us next month in October.
Yeah, she's great.
2021. Yeah, and what about a shout out to my dog?
Hi. Yeah.
Hi, Maya. Maya. Say hi. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
This is a family show. And we'll all see you next week on Mind Rolling on Be Here Now Network. Go to BeHereNowNetwork.com. And as Noah said, there's just a plethora of wonderful teachers and thought leaders. And we're really happy to share it. So see you next week.